Well, we're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and as we progress through the Gospels, sometimes I'm really excited about a passage, and then other times I'm like, oh boy, this is a tough one. And the passage that we come to this morning is on marriage and divorce. And it is a tough one. There's a lot of differences of opinions, and but we want to go to the Word of God and find out, what does God have to say? And to understanding how gracious we must be in such a broken world that we live in. But one of the things that has happened in our culture today is that there's a very low view of marriage. A very low view of it. A low view of sexuality. So that sexuality becomes something that you do and you don't. It becomes a casual thing in our culture. And I want you to know that the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches, and it may sound so old-fashioned to some people, especially in our culture today, that it sounds like bizarre. Are you for real? What century do you live in? And I've had people actually say that to me. The Bible teaches that the place for sex is within marriage. It's within a commitment of one man and one woman. Because it says, two shall become one flesh. And that's quite a union. Do you know that in the book of 1 Corinthians, it actually says that when a person joins themselves to a harlot, or if it's just casual sex, you're becoming one flesh with that person. And that there is something that happens that God sees, that we were made for sexual relationships to be found in a place of deep love and permanent commitment. That's what the Bible teaches. And I know that for most of us here, that hasn't happened in our lives. I know it didn't for me, because I didn't even understand that. It didn't even make sense to me at one time in my life. And so when I say these things, I don't say them to sound condemning or anything like that. I say these things because God's perfect plan is always the best way. It's God's way, and it's always the best way. And we've walked away from God's way and God's will in many areas in our life. This is just one of them. But it has a profound effect on people. People don't understand that by having casual sex and being involved in these kinds of situations, that there's a ripping and a tearing that goes on in their psyche, in their being, that God never meant to happen. That there's a cheapening of what sex is really all about. That it was meant to be in the bonds of marriage. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that marriage is honorable in all, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And the bed is undefiled. It almost seems that people have the view that the church thinks of sex as something sinful and something we shouldn't really talk about. And that the world thinks that sex is just something casual or flippant or almost irrelevant, just something that you just do, and like you go to the bathroom or you eat breakfast or whatever. But it's not that. And oh, that we could find out what the biblical pattern of it is, what God meant for it to be. And so Jesus, in an answer to the Pharisees, which we'll get to the question in a moment here, Jesus responds in such a way to say, no, this is what God's plan is. This is the way God wanted it to be. And yet, the human race, once sin came in the world, that happened, a breaking happened, a tearing happened. A tearing happened in a relationship with God. And if you study Genesis, you'll find a tearing happened in a relationship between Adam and Eve as they began to blame one another for the circumstances that they were in. And a lot of bad things have come out of sin. And brokenness in marriages is something that our culture is so rampant in now that we're running in the 50-60% range where marriages just don't last. Now you hear about people celebrating their 50th and their 60th. You won't be hearing much of that anymore because of the way our culture is going. So what am I going to do? What do I do with a passage that speaks that marriage is meant to be a permanent thing? That God's plan was one man, one woman for the rest of their lives. That's God's plan. It's God's perfect plan. And yet there's been so much brokenness. What do we do with broken people? What do we do with people whose marriages have busted and fallen apart? None of these questions are easy to answer. But what I want you to know is that God's plan is a good plan. And if you're married, then I want to encourage you to work at it. I want to encourage you to think about it in a way that it's honoring to God. I want you to know that it's not just a good feeling on a certain day. And I mean, marriage is wonderful. And when people are connected, it's beautiful. And often, you know, they always talk about that honeymoon period, right? When the honeymoon period's over, then the real living starts, right? Can it be that we can have the honeymoon period ongoing? Is it possible that we can grow in love? That it doesn't just plateau and stay there and maybe sometimes dip down? I believe it can. I believe it can because I've experienced it in my own marriage with Marie, my first wife. And I'm experiencing it now in the second marriage because my first wife died. And I'm experiencing a growing love. It doesn't have to plateau. It doesn't have to disappear. But it's not based on just a warm and gushy feeling. It's based upon a commitment to one another. A commitment that says, I'm sticking with you through thick and thin and up and down. It's a commitment that goes deeper than the other. Because things happen. Trials come. It's not always going to be easy sailing. There's not going to be divisions and problems. But at the same time, there's that underlying commitment that says, I've given myself away to you. And oh, when two people take that position, when there's an understanding of that, that we've given ourselves away to each other and there's no holding back, we've surrendered our bodies, our souls, our minds, and our lives to each other for the rest of our days. It's a beautiful thing. And I'll tell you that because when sex comes in its proper place, it's not the core that holds a relationship together. It's just a little crown that goes on top of it. Because, I mean, after all, there's a lot of living goes on where there's no sex. Am I right? I hope nobody's embarrassed at my conversation this morning. It's just the reality of it. That it's there's only a small portion of your life that's going to be involved with sex. The rest of it is living. The rest of it is visiting one another, getting up together. It is going through life together. It is dealing with finances, dealing with all the other things of life. That's a small portion, friends. It's not unimportant, but it's a small portion. But God wants us to know that, you know, if there's a true love for one another, true serving for one to one another, then it becomes something important. It doesn't become something irrelevant. It becomes part and parcel of the whole union that happens between a man and a woman. But we're going to come to this story here in Mark chapter 10, and here's what we have. Jesus arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of Jordan, and the multitudes gathered to him again, and he was accustomed, and he taught them. As he was accustomed, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, I want you to know that each of the Gospels tells part of the story. But in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, this is the question that he said, they actually asked him. And it was, okay, got to find it here. He said, they actually asked him in the Gospel of Matthew, is it lawful? Yeah, the Pharisees came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? There were two schools at that time, religious schools. And one school said, if she burns the toast, you can divorce her. Right? The other school said, no, there has to be a just cause for it. And it could be very particular. And so the Pharisees were having these debates themselves. Because one school said this and the other school said that. And matter of fact, there was such a practice that went on among them that a man would say, well, I like her better than I like you now. What about if we get a divorce? You can go with him and I can go with her. And so it was almost like wife swapping going on. For any reason at all, people were busting their marriages. They were throwing them away. And we had religious leaders that were teaching that. And so they came to Jesus and they thought, well, we've got two groups here. If we ask Jesus, he's gonna be on the outs with one of them. They didn't come asking Jesus because they wanted to know the truth. Why did they come asking him?
They were right.
They want to test him. They wanted to see if they could trip him up somehow. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, it says one man, one woman for the rest of your life. But then in the Old Testament, it also says at the time of the law that Moses gave permission for divorce. So which is right? One man, one woman for the rest of your life, or divorce is permitted? And as a matter of fact, they took the idea of divorce and they ran with it so that they were divorcing people for any reason at all, just to get what they wanted in the moment. So Jesus had an answer for them, and we'll come to his answer here. He answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." And that's in the Old Testament. And Jesus answered them, "It was because of the hardness of your heart that he wrote this precept." Jesus said, it was because your hearts were hard. It's because there was so much brokenness. It's because sin had come into the world. It's because the sanctity and the beauty and the wonder of marriage had been broken at times. And it has been. Broken where there's been adultery. Broken where there's been abuse. Broken where there has been unfaithfulness. And so he said, that's not God's original plan. Here's what he says. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. That's what is male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Strong words. Jesus goes back to the beginning. He says, this is God's original plan. And it's a good plan. Why? Because it's the natural order, man, woman. Because it's the civil order. Even in most cultures, you find that there was monogamous relationships, man and woman together. Because it's in the spiritual order. Because it's been ordained by God in his word that that's the way it was meant to be from the beginning. That's God's original plan. And so what does it tell us? It tells us that when we enter into a marriage relationship, we plan for life. That's why you don't enter into it casually or flippantly. I'll tell you something. Most people today are sliding into relationships, not deciding into relationships. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you may start going with somebody. Then you get involved, physically get involved. And then, well, it's cheaper for two of us to live together than to be apart. So we do that. And then, if we get one, let's buy a car together. And after a while, sometimes people live that way. They're sliding into relationships. And then all of a sudden, they wake up one day and they realize, oh, I'm a long way in here. And I never really committed myself to this person. Do you understand what I'm saying? I never really committed myself. I never sold out. I never said, I've always, it'd be nice to get married, but, And then marriage becomes the idea. The marriage becomes the idea of a big wedding and everybody coming saying, I do. And there's no sense of, this is a commitment for the rest of your life. Why is it when you go to a wedding and you hear people say their vows and you look around and there's tears all over the place? Why is that? Can you tell me? I mean, so two people get together and they start sliding into a relationship. Does everybody go, whoa, and start saying, oh, that's so touching? No. What's the difference? Why is it that it touches people and affects them? Because there's a deep commitment being made. Because there's an expression of love and commitment. Because love is a commitment. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a feeling of physical feeling or an emotional feeling for the moment. It's not just a crush. It's a commitment. It's a sacrifice. It's a saying, I give myself away to you for the rest of my days. That's why. And that's why even people who don't even have much respect for marriage, yet at the same time, when they hear people saying their vows, they're touched. I just did a wedding in Alberta. My nephew just got married. And there were tears all over the place. Why? Because they were committing their love to one another as they looked into each other's eyes. That's why when I do a wedding and I talk to the bride and the groom, I says, now, listen, when you're saying those vows, I don't want you saying, I take you to be my... I said, I want you looking right into the other person's eyes. Because it's special. Because it's real. And because something spiritual happens when two people get married, even if they don't know God. When they make a commitment to one another, God sees it. And God blesses it. And there's something beautiful about it. And then the rest of that relationship and the sexual part of it becomes blessed. And it's holy. And it's beautiful. And God is pleased with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Something right about it. The way when it's in its right place. So here's the thing. Before marriage, here's the thing. No sex. Now you do what you want with it. I'm not going to go around and inspect people and ask them what you're doing or not doing. But this is God's way. I'll tell you God's way. You can go any other way you want, but God's way is the best way. No sex before you're married. What can I say then? And marriage is a commitment for the rest of your days. Make it that. Does divorce happen? Yeah. Is there broken marriages? Absolutely. What do you do with all the brokenness? When we look at the passage of Scripture, when Jesus said this to him in his house, his disciples asked him again about the matter. So he said that whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if this is the case of a man with his wife, it's better not to marry. They were like, whoa, that's heavy. That's like a long commitment here. Maybe it's better not to get married. And then Jesus says, look, it's only for some people not to be married. There's only certain people that can handle not being married. We're not all wired to be single. We aren't. But some people are. And Jesus, he went on to explain that in Matthew's gospel. I'm not going to get into that so much, but he does say there are some people who are called to be single. And then there, most of us are actually called to be married. And how do we deal with those situations? Well, this is what he has to say about it. But when we look in the gospel of in Matthew as well, he said, Jesus said, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality marries another, commits adultery. Whoever marries her is divorced, commits adultery. And then the disciples said the same thing. Well, it's better not to marry then. Now, I don't want I can't stretch the Bible farther than what it has to say. But unfaithfulness rips at a marriage. Unfaithfulness tears at the fabric of it. When such a deep commitment is made to one another, then a man should be satisfied with his wife only. Pornography today is ruining people's relationships because they are not satisfied then with their wife, so they're involved in pornography. And when you get involved in pornography, guess what you've just committed? Adultery. Committed adultery. How is that? Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery. It's already happened. Oh, I tell you, there's a strong warning needs to go out to especially our young people, because they are getting involved in pornography at younger and younger ages, and it ruins them. It takes them away from God's way. So pornography should be out of the picture altogether. And yet it is rampant not only in the world, but also in the church as well. Many people are addicted to pornography. And the trouble with it is the deeper they go, the deeper they have to go. They don't get any satisfaction. There's no satisfaction there. It just takes people deeper and deeper down the wrong path. And so men and women, I want to encourage you to guard your marriages. I want to encourage you to make sure that you stay committed to your relationship to your wife or to your husband. And to look for every opportunity to be together and do things together. And don't drift apart. And love one another, encourage one another, and serve one another. But what happens when divorce comes? For whatever those reasons are. What happens when someone divorces and remarries, and maybe they didn't even know anything about the Bible or Jesus, and there they are, and what do you do with this now? I remember a man, I was working in Halifax hot tar roofing up on those high rises, a bunch of guys, and they were rough and tumble guys. And I was just a new believer, but I was fiery. I was preaching, and telling them, listen, if you fall off this roof, if you're not saved, you'll fall right into hell. You need to get saved. Anyway, I was a little rough around the edges, and maybe I could have been a little nicer, but these fellows were rough and tough anyway, and they knew how to sling it back at me. And they picked on me, and sometimes they said, we're going to throw you off that roof. But then one man came to me with tears in his eyes. He said, I want Jesus. I want to be saved. So I prayed with him, and he accepted Christ. And then the other guys ganged up on him, I'll tell you. They tried to get him to go off and do stuff, and he said, no, man, I'm trusting in Jesus now. And then one day he came to me, and he was just broken. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, what's the matter? Roger was his name. What's the matter, Roger? He said, when I was 15 years old, I got a girl pregnant. And he said, we didn't even know each other very well. But both parents got together and said, you guys got to get married. So we got married. And he said, it didn't last. Maybe 2 years. And we ended up divorced. Now he said, I still support that child. But she's since gone and got married again. And at 22, 23 years old, I met a woman and I fell in love and we got married. But now, he said, now that I'm a Christian, what am I going to do now? He said, do I have to go back and try to get back with her? Get rid of my wife? What do you think my answer was? It was this. You can't unscramble eggs. You can't. Messes were made. But I said, where you are now, you're committed to your wife. You have a responsibility to that son. And you keep on making sure that that's looked after. But I said, now you've committed to where you are. You see, all of us have sinned. All of us have broken every one of the commandments more than once. And so it is not some great sin over here and some little sins over there. All of us are broken people in so many ways. Marriage is permitted. It was permitted in the Old Testament because of the hardness of people's hearts. I mean, divorce was permitted. It was permitted in the Old Testament because of the hardness of people's hearts. And I want to ask you a question. Are people's hearts less hard today? No, they're not. And so is brokenness still here today? Is adultery and fornication and cheating on one another still around? Yes, it is. Do I expect a woman to live with a man who runs around on his wife? No. I don't think that's right. I think that if it's possible, if there's repentance, they can maybe try to mend it, but it's not easy. The deep trust has been ripped to pieces. It's not an easy thing. But at the same time, what do you do when the brokenness happens? What do you do when you have people coming to you who have come out of all this brokenness and been married sometimes once or twice, and here they are, and they're 25 years old, and they've already... What do you do with them? Is marriage permitted after that? I believe it is. I believe it is. Not because God condones divorce and remarriage, but because the hardness of people's hearts and the brokenness of our world, and pieces need to be picked up. We need to be able to go forward. And generally, whatever takes place, if there's brokenness or people break up because of incompatibility or all those kinds of other reasons that happen that really aren't the best reasons, generally what happens is that other people get involved pretty quick and other relationships happen. So as we minister to a broken world around us, Jesus' answer that he gives here is he makes it pretty clear that it should only be because of unfaithfulness that divorce should happen. But it isn't saying that that's what we want to happen, or that's just, okay, if there's unfaithfulness, bang, marriage is over, that's it. No, it can be mended, and they have been mended, but it's difficult. You know, when Jesus said two become one flesh, he's talking about there's a tremendous union there. Now, you take a picture, as an example, take my body. If I was put on a torture rack and stretched so that it began to rip one limb from another, that would be pretty horrible, wouldn't it? That would be awful. And yet, relationships where deep commitment is supposed to happen, and when they begin to become ripped apart, oh, the damage that happens. The ripping and the tearing of a life, a relationship. Friends, I want you to know that God is full of compassion and mercy, and sins are forgiven, and we can move on with our lives. But God's plan for marriage is one man, one woman for the rest of their lives. And when brokenness happens, it's not God's perfect plan. And when remarriage happens, that doesn't mean that God doesn't bless and God isn't with you in it. We move forward from where we are. So when Jesus gives his answers, there's a solemnness to it. There's a force to it that causes us to stop and reconsider. And what I want to say to you is that our present culture is going rampant in the other direction. And we need to stand for marriage the way it is in the Word of God. And we need to be committed to that and encourage people to be committed in that direction, that you give yourself away to your partner for the rest of your life. But that doesn't mean we don't have compassion where there's been brokenness and where people have found themselves having been married before, divorced, and unfaithfulness has taken place. And what do you do with that mess? You come to Jesus where you are. You see, when Jesus spoke about this answer, it was an answer that had to do with the present situation that they were saying. I want to get rid of my wife. Can I do it for any cause? No, Jesus says, no, that's not right. It doesn't mean that Jesus was saying that you couldn't get married again later on, but you certainly can't plan to get rid of one and go get married to another. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what Jesus was addressing. He was addressing the idea that they had, I want to get rid of one so I can go get another one. That's wrong. It's never right. And even if that's happened in someone's past before they're saved, there's mercy and there's forgiveness and there's a fresh start with God. And thank God there is. Because if there wasn't, a lot of people would be in trouble. People here in this room too. But God is gracious, full of mercy, and full of compassion. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible uses marriage as an illustration of God marrying you. Because marriage is such a deep commitment, because it's such an intimate commitment, because it's such a meant to be a permanent commitment. When we look at Jesus using and the Apostle Paul, as he writes, he uses the illustration of marriage to say that it is just a marriage is like what God is accomplishing with you, what God wants to accomplish with each and every one of us, that he wants to be married to us, that he wants to make a commitment to us, that he wants us to make a commitment to him. He wants us to be one together for eternity, and that God initiates that. And thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Because we've broken our commitments to God. Even then, since we've been saved. We've all sinned, have we not? We've all failed in our relationship. But that doesn't stop God. Because he says, I've vowed and I've made a commitment. And my commitment will stand. And I'm so glad that I've been married to Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage everyone here to take a step of faith if you haven't. And get married to Jesus. That's the most important marriage. That's the one that will bring you into a love relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God, a permanent relationship with God, where he said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and one who will call to you and be with you and stick with you. Just like we were meant to stick with one another, but we don't do such a good job of it. But I'll tell you what, Jesus does a good job of that. So get married. Get married to Jesus. Get to know him. Make a commitment to Jesus Christ. He's willing to make a commitment to you. Say, I will love you and I will be with you And every beautiful vow that you ever heard in a wedding ceremony doesn't match the vows that God will make to you if you put your hope and your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, whatever messes have happened in your life in the past, we've all made messes, you can come to Jesus. You can say, Lord, forgive me. And what does he do? He forgives. He forgives. He forgets it. And from here on, Savior, Lord, let me be the husband I'm supposed to be. Let me be the wife I'm meant to be. And Lord, let us grow in union and grow in love and in mercy and in grace and in kindness to one another. Let us live, Lord, as you called us to live. Because God's called you to live. If you're going to be a husband or a wife, he's called you to be a servant of your husband, to be a servant of your wife, to think every day, how can I bless my spouse? What can I do to bring encouragement into their lives? It's not about me, me, me. I've used this illustration before. My first wife and I used to use this in youth groups and whatever. And we'd use a skit called Me. It was the Me skit. So she would come up the aisle on one side, and I would come up the aisle on the other side shouting, me, 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 me. We'd look at each other, say, me, 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 me. And we'd hug each other, me, 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 me. And then all of a sudden it's me, 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 me. And then off we go, shouting me at each other all the way away from one another. Why is that? Because if it's all about me, it's not going to work. It's not that way. It's a giving of yourself away to the other person. And when it's all about me, you'll tear and rip and devour and take away from one another till there's nothing left. Take a look at Jesus Christ. Was he shouting me when he came into this world? Was he shouting me when he went to a cross? Was he shouting me when he was being crucified for your sins and mine? No. He was shouting you, you, you. Ah, friends, love. Love is not about me, 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 me. Love is giving yourself away. And when two people take that position and grow in giving themselves to one another and thinking every day, how can I serve? What can I do to bless my wife or husband today? I tell you, it's beautiful. I tell you, it grows. Love grows where there's self-sacrifice, where there's giving oneself away to the other person. Love grows. It was meant to grow, never meant to stay the same. And love becomes that deep, deep, loving commitment that gets richer and richer as every moment goes by. Well, let me encourage you with all my heart today to know the love of God, to experience that love and that commitment, and that, Lord, that you would be blessing people in their relationships and marriage, that there would be true love, a true giving oneself away to each other. We thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you, oh God, that your call is a deep commitment. And I thank you, Lord, that that's exactly what you've given to us. Bless the marriages in this place. Bless marriages in our community, oh God. And bless those who have been broken and ruined. Pick them up out of the mud. And give them, Lord, new beginnings with you. Have mercy, oh God. It's a hard-hearted world. It's a broken world. And I'm crying out to you, oh God, to have mercy on people that we know and people that we love. That a way can be found, that relationships can be restored, and that people can move forward in a good way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.